Good morning. It's Tuesday, January 27th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Dairy farms are opening new side businesses, such as cow cuddling and ice cream churning. But those opportunities of joy come amid a volatile milk market.
The prices are pretty low. They've been very low for a while. It's not always the same check you see coming in every day. It's not a consistent check.
We'll hear how dairy farms are finding new ways to rake in cash. That's coming up after the news. The Kansas Board of Regents has set new guidelines for instructional workloads and a review process for faculty, KMUW's Suzanne Perez reports.
Under the new framework, faculty at the state's three major universities, KU, K-State, and Wichita State, are expected to teach 6 to 9 credit hours per semester. Research obligations would account for 35% to 45% of their time. Faculty at Pittsburgh State, Emporia State, and Fort Hays State would be assigned at least 12 credit hours per semester. Regent Alicia Johnston says productivity and review standards will increase transparency with lawmakers and the public.
We want to have the data so we can show that this is a rigorous process and one that works.
Tenured faculty would undergo performance reviews by a campus committee every 5 years. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
A federal civil trial is underway in the killing of 17-year-old Cedric Lofton, KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
Lofton was killed in 2021 while in custody at the Sedgwick County Juvenile Detention Center. His death was ruled a homicide after guards held him in a prone position for nearly 40 minutes. Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett declined to press criminal charges at the time. Lofton's family is now suing the 5 guards who held Lofton in custody, saying they killed him by using excessive force. Lawyers began presenting their arguments in the civil trial last week. It's expected to last about 3 weeks. Defense attorneys argue the guards' actions were justified. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
The Kansas Supreme Court will hear oral arguments tomorrow on an appeal from death row inmates Reginald and Jonathan Carr. The Carrs were convicted and sentenced to death for a crime spree in December of 2000 that included 5 murders. The brothers argue they should be granted new sentencing hearings, at which point the death penalty would be relitigated. A Sedgwick County judge denied that request in 2024, which led to the current appeal. State prosecutors say the question has been resolved and no new sentencing should be granted. Kansas hospital staff vacancy rates have declined since the pandemic, but they're still higher than they were pre-pandemic, according to a report by the Kansas Hospital Association. Statewide, the vacancy rate is 11.8%. In 2019, it was 7.4%. Rosemarie Asnavourian is with MedPro Healthcare Staffing. She says when hospitals are short on certain employees, other workers get burnt out, and that causes a vicious cycle.
Where you have nurses leaving and you've got to recruit more, and they're usually the newer nurses and they're not as clinically experienced as the ones who have left, and it's the cat chasing its tail.
As Navorian says, to attract workers, hospitals could offer to help pay off student loans or provide nursing assistance to reduce burnout. 2 nonprofits in Wichita that support victims of domestic violence will receive a combined $200,000 in grant funding. The Wichita Family Crisis Center and Harbor House at Catholic Charities are among 20 organizations across Kansas receiving grants. The programs offer 24-hour support hotlines, transportation, and emergency shelter. The Family Life Center in El Dorado will also get a grant worth about $60,000. The grants are funded through the Federal Family Violence Prevention and Services Act. Some of the money also goes toward educating people on preventing domestic violence. The renovation of the former Cessna Stadium at Wichita State University is another step closer to completion. The WSU Board of Trustees voted earlier this month to invest $38 million into Phase 2 of the project. That phase will begin after the state high school track and field championships in May. The West Grandstand will be demolished in June. After that, construction of the new stadium will be phased in to allow for seating during the 2027 state track meet. Construction is scheduled to be complete before the track and field championships in 2028. Another alum from the University of Kansas has now flown into space, Jay Schaefer reports.
Dr. Laura Stiles launched into space on Blue Origin's suborbital NS-38 mission. She's worked at Blue Origin for the past 13 years in a variety of roles. Stiles graduated from KU in 2008 with a degree in engineering physics. While in school, she participated in internships at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, the Air Force Research Lab, and CERN. Stiles is now the fifth KU alum to travel to space, following in the footsteps of Joe Engel, Ron Evans, Steve Hawley, and Laurel O'Hara. I'm Jay Schaefer.
United Way of the Plains will host its annual point-in-time homeless count on Thursday. The count helps gauge how many people in Sedgwick County are experiencing homelessness, using that single day as a snapshot. It also helps officials make local funding decisions for homeless resources and services. Last year, the organization counted more than 700 unhoused people. That's a 6% increase from 2024. The event will begin Thursday at 6 o'clock in the morning. More information is at unitedwayplains.org. We'll be back after this.
KMUW's Pint Night is back. We'd like to invite you to the next meetup, an evening of conversation, drinks, and camaraderie with other listeners and staff. We'll be at Tor Brewing in the upstairs loft on February 11th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. I hope you'll come spend an evening with us.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. Milk prices are now below many dairy farmers' break-even points after a steady price decline since January of last year. It's the latest symptom of a volatile milk economy that's pushed some farmers to open side businesses to stay afloat. Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports.
Quincy Schmidt's family has owned their dairy farm in Corcoran, Minnesota, an hour outside of the Twin Cities, since 1958, when her grandpa first scouted the area.
He hopped in his pickup one day, and he bought the farm with 20 cows and a horse, and we kind of have grown our farm from there.
When Schmidt was growing up, the family had about 50 cows. And the herd expanded over time.
As we became adults and were interested in the farm, we increased our herd. We're now milking 120 cows, and yeah, they're pretty friendly. They're a friendly bunch.
But for the past 5 years, dairy prices have been volatile. They're currently running a few dollars below many farmers' break-even points. Profit margins at Schmidt's family's farm started shrinking.
Dairy isn't always a consistent form of income. If other dairy farmers can relate, the prices are pretty low. They've been very low for a while. It's not always the same check you see coming in every. It's not a consistent check.
Thus, their side business, Curious Cows and Company, was born. For $25, visitors can spend 30 minutes snuggling calves, brushing their coats, or feeding them hay. I tried filming myself cuddling with cows, in fact, until one of them thought my hair was edible. In the business. Ah! But why have dairy prices been declining? One part of it is that there's a dairy glut that's outpacing demand. Christopher Wolf is an ag economist at Cornell University. He says people tend to consume a lot of these dairy products when they eat out.
They're more likely to, people eat more cheeses, more specialty cheese in particular, and things like that when they eat out.
But he says with inflation still relatively high, people are eating out less, and that cuts into dairy consumption.
So right now, inflation is still being kind of stubborn, and everything that's happening right now doesn't look like it's going to do much for curbing inflation. So when people go out less, it also has impacts.
Which is precisely why dairy businesses across the country have delved into agritourism and diversified their product lines to generate as much revenue as possible. This isn't a new idea to Jeff Swanson, a tour manager at Country Dairy in Michigan.
That's part of the reason why we put in our own bottling plant, because in the late 70s and early 80s, milk prices were really low and a lot of farmers were selling out.
Country Dairy not only bottles its own milk, but also operates its own ice cream line, offers tours, and even has a small restaurant on its farm. Swanson says the idea of the special products and tours is also about helping people to understand farming.
People who really have a disconnect with farms today, to be able to educate them and help them know what a modern dairy farm is like.
Swanson says this has allowed their farm to remain relatively independent from major milk market forces. Their focus is to provide quality milk to their customers and offer some unique time on the farm.
So this year, we're also going to be doing classes on Thursdays, and we call it Moo University or Moo U. And we are doing that to try and open up farming even more to people.
That's been a recurring theme through conversations with different dairy farmers. These side businesses aren't just about bringing in more cash. They're also meant to connect people. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including KMUW. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.